I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The internet is a moving target, and the way we use it changes as new gadgets come out, from desktop computers to laptops and phones, and now watches and goggles.
Our next guest studies how and why people use the internet or don't use it, and there's a new study out today. Catherine Zekir is a research associate at the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, before we get to the newest research you have today, I was curious about some work you did earlier this year on people who don't access the internet, about 15%, a little more, of Americans. What reasons do people give for not going online?
Well, that's such an interesting question, because we can really only probe the main reasons, the broad outlines of why people don't use the internet in general. And we generally find that the top reason is just that people aren't really interested, and they're not really sure how it would be relevant to their lives.
And that's interesting. I mean, we hear about the digital divide a lot, and that's part of the answer to people lacking access or can't afford it. But there's a big chunk of people out there who don't want to use the online, want to use the internet. They don't see it as relevant.
No, that's true. And over the past few years, anywhere from about 1 in 5 to 15% of Americans just haven't been online at all. There's also another slice of the population that uses the internet in some form but lacks home access. And we actually recently found that about 1 in 10 Americans owns a smartphone but doesn't have high-speed home broadband at home. So there's a good chunk of people who are connecting to the internet just from their phones.
And how does that break down by age, the people who aren't online?
For people who aren't online at all, they tend to be older, lower income, or with lower levels of education. But when you look at people who go online, say, mostly with their cell phones, who lack home who go online only with their smartphones, who don't have home access, they actually tend to be a bit younger. But also with lower levels of income and education.
So that's interesting. You've got an older demographic who's not going online at all, a younger group who is starting to go online but without benefit of the old-fashioned desktop computers or laptops.
Yeah, and we actually had another study just out today about people who go online mostly with their cell phones. So people who probably have access, you know, from desktop or laptop at home, but just say that they do most of their internet browsing on their cell phone. And we found that among younger adults who go online with their cell phones, about half say they go online mostly with their phones.
And this is trending, as they say, on the web search engines. This is something that is on the rise, right?
Yes. No, the proportion of cell phone owners who do most of their browsing with their phones have about doubled since 2009. So this is definitely a trend that we're seeing increasing.
Well, this has got to be maybe a frustrating part of doing the research you do, or maybe the fun part. It's such a moving target as the technology changes. What, does it make your head spin trying to keep up with all this, or does it make sure you know, still have a job?
It is always fascinating seeing what's happening now and trying to study new things. It is a moving target, but it's always very exciting. So we're trying to study, you know, people who don't use the internet, people who maybe don't even have a cell phone. Most people have cell phones, but about 1 in 10 don't. But we're also trying to keep track of some of these newer things popping up, like Twitter or Snapchat.
And are you seeing a growth? We mentioned in our introduction some of the brand new stuff, the watches and the Google Glass goggle things. Those aren't out there really for general use yet. Do you anticipate that, you know, maybe in a year or two we're going to be having the same conversation about phones on the rise, but with these other gadgets instead?
Well, you've raised that's such a fascinating point, because the internet is now on so many devices that increasingly in 10 years it will be interesting to see what devices we ask about, or if it even makes sense to talk about when you're online and when you're off. But for now, we're sticking to talking about regular internet use, smartphones, things like that.
And I'm kind of old-fashioned. I do most of my work on desktop computers. I'll use the phone out there in a pinch. Am I a bit of a dinosaur already by still using this, 20-year-old technology?
Well, if it helps, you are probably in line with the habits of your age group. If you were 18, you might be a bit of an outlier. But and in general, most people tend to do most of their their online activities on a desktop or a laptop. Young folks are just a bit more mobile.
Now, going back to the people who aren't online at all, I think of filling out school forms, doing medical references, and especially job applications nowadays. Are people seeing this as a challenge? If I'm offline, it's really starting to be an obstacle in my life?
I think that's something that you see. Well, I know that a lot of librarians, for instance, have told us that they see offline adults really running into obstacles when they need to use the internet because, like you said, some form that they need to fill out is available only online. This is something that you especially see with people who have, or we hear from more with people who go online just with their smartphones, is that if you think about the interface of some of these forms, what you're trying to do, the level of complexity, it can be really difficult for a smaller screen or, again, when you need to go to a library or some other place and you have a time limit, or if you just aren't comfortable using the technology in general. So that is definitely something we're going to keep an eye on as more things, more services move online only.
And I know you've studied the role of libraries. I wanted to expand on that a little. How much are people relying on libraries to meet those needs that you were just talking about?
Libraries are definitely a role in how people connect to the internet and access online resources when they don't have home access. We know that about a quarter of Americans use the internet or wireless at libraries, so I think a quarter of library users do that. And that's pretty steady across age groups. Younger people are actually pretty big users of the internet at libraries. And we hear from librarians a lot when they help people use the internet. For adults who aren't familiar with using the internet, sometimes it's not necessarily even just an issue of access, but it's trying to learn how to do simple things like signing up for an email account, keeping track of passwords, understanding which service wants which login information. So even though most adults use the internet now, for those that don't, it can be confusing to try to use it for the first time.
Kara on Facebook writes, I would get so much done if I didn't use the internet. Well, thanks for taking the time to do that, Kara, to post that. But do we know about productivity? Are people saying that the internet increases or decreases how much they get done at work or in their lives?
That is something that we hear in different places. And I think it's really interesting to look at how people use their cell phones for internet access because cell phones are pretty intimate. You know, they're with you, they're in your pocket. A good portion of people sleep with their cell phones right next to them on the bed. So what we hear from mobile users is that they both really appreciate the convenience of these devices and always having the internet with them or always being able to reach people they want to. But it is a distraction, and it can sometimes feel a little overwhelming for people to be constantly on call or to constantly have, distractions at their fingertips.
Do you have, and I may be going beyond the research you do there, but do you have a sense that people are trying to evolve, A, an etiquette for how they use these things, and B, to manage the time they have so they're not overwhelmed, they're not feeling constantly connected, and they disconnect from time to time on purpose?
I love hearing about the latest etiquette rules regarding these devices. It seems, unscientifically, it seems like each group of friends, for instance, has its own rules about whether it's all right to look at your phone during dinner, is maybe texting okay but not calling. Cell phones are actually, relative to a lot of technologies we use, they're pretty new. So a lot of these norms and these etiquettes are still evolving.
And do you have a sense of a difference in how the so-called the digital natives, the people who grew up with the internet, view this versus us old stodgy folks age 40 and up?
Young people, especially teens, might have some different expectations around some of these devices. What we know for sure is that they're generally using these technologies more. Teens especially are big texters and have always been pretty active users of social networking sites. So sometimes just because they're so active on these technologies, they can look a little strange to maybe generations that haven't been using them as much.
Do you see that being an avenue for conflict between the younger generation, the digital natives, and the older people?
Again, anecdotally, I think many parents would say that it has been a source of conflict. In general, I mean, like I said, we're seeing norms evolve. We're seeing expectations evolve. We're at a point where, again, the vast majority of Americans now have smartphones. And actually, vast majority of Americans have cell phones, and a majority have smartphones. So this is something that we're seeing really come into the mainstream in a big way.
And one thing I didn't want to forget to ask you, we've talked about how people are accessing the Internet. Do you have a sense in your ongoing research there at the Pew Center on what people are doing with the Internet for the most part? Fun, work, half and half?
Everything would be the short answer. For instance, one of the most popular activities that we've studied over time has been searching for health information. People turn to the Internet with questions they have, especially maybe things they might not want to ask another person necessarily. But they are also using it, as they always have, for communication, to email increasingly, to share things on social networking sites, and just connect with others. So these are things that we've seen continue over time, just in different forms and on different platforms.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Catherine Zeker, Research Associate at the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project. And I want to hear from you if you are one of the people we were talking about earlier. You're not online. You don't go on the Internet. I'm not going to send you to our Facebook page or email. You can call the Central Time hotline and share your story. Maybe we can talk to you on a future show. 855-683-5422 is the number to call. 855-683-5422. Veronica, I feel like sometimes, you know, we assume everybody out there is on the Internet, but yet 15% of our listeners probably at least aren't.
Turns out not everybody's on there. So We'll have to see. Yeah, give us a call at the hotline and tell us your story. We'd be happy to hear from you. And coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll hear about a new Frontline documentary that's tracking the upheavals in Egypt.
We'll talk to a scientist who's trying to come up with a cure for the common cold. A lot of people are going down with that lately, and that got us thinking, isn't there something they can do about it, those scientists?
I don't know. I have a bad feeling about that one.
Me too.
And we'll explore the way Wisconsin talks and the regional and ethnic accents in our state.
Tune in tomorrow. That's all coming up here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.